B-Pod Studios.
Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible.
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, all over the podcast page at WRAF.com, wherever you get in your podcast as part of the B-Pod Studios Network, and on your social media at Nerd Radio 101.
You're right over there, Chuck?
No, I am not.
Seemed like you had to take a running start at that intro.
I really did. My name is Chuck Fien, joined by Al Beck and James, as always, this week for Nerd Radio, and this episode almost did not happen.
That's true.
Because working through the Memorial Day weekend, I caught something.
Got a case of the sniffles.
It started on Friday, and it just got worse and worse. And to anybody who was listening to me cover for Screamin' Scott from 7 to midnight Memorial Day, I am sorry.
Because every single
break was like, you're listening to 101 WRAF. It was just like, after the first hour, I was like, I should not be here.
I've done like an overnight shift before where I was so sick and couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
That I got to a point where I was like, all right, I got to take a look at my log and see what all of the stuff I have to read because it was paid for is.
Yes.
I'm going to read all that, and then I'm just going to sweep through.
And because then I'm out.
I'm not. That's not good to listen to.
And it's not good to hear standing right next to you either.
This only happens maybe two times a year
that
I will get sick, and then I'll try and tough it out with the juice we talk about on the show.
That's right.
It's the juice and the cough
cranberry
drops.
Juice, baby.
And the NyQuil.
Telling you.
And
I saw some soup.
After about 3 days, I give up. I tap out and I go to urgent care, and they give me some amoxicillin so I'm bouncing back.
Yeah. Well, you would text me to let me know, like, hey, I'm not going to make it in on the normal day that we record, and maybe the next day, which is today.
Yep.
And the funny thing is, and you had said, like, if I can't make it in on Thursday, we're just gonna have to cancel it for the week. And we never do that. So whatever. We try to get it out every week, but if something comes up,
right. That's how dedicated I am to you, the listeners at home.
Right.
The show must go on.
Right. But the funny thing is, so it was already the show that almost didn't happen because you were sick. But what you may or may not realize is that this is the show that almost didn't happen twice.
Yeah.
Because yesterday I went to James after the show and kind of gave him the heads up, like, hey, Chuck, text me. And
he's like, Chuck's sick. I'm like, oh.
And so James looks at me and goes, well, why don't we just do a show? Yeah, and should we
do something?
Yeah, we're both radio professionals. Yeah. That seems completely reasonable.
Is this a mutiny?
No. But I was like, my exact words were like, would he care? Should we just do something? He's sick. We want to be a part of it. But
I said, no, Jefferson and I have done a segment solo before.
Right.
But no, he's encouraged us. And I've always told him, no, we'll make sure you're there. So I was like, yeah, you know what? We got some of our production to do or whatever. And I'll go look up a couple things. And then, I'm sure we could at least do one segment together. Yeah. And then, so I go and I look up on a website, I get a, sift through like 3-4 pages worth of stuff to find like 4 tabs to talk about, bring it into the control room where James's office is, like, all right, man, I got these few stories that we could probably go over. And I look, my computer's completely frozen up. I can't access my tabs.
No.
And I'm like, oh my God. So I got those 4 pages I could sift through again to get 4 four little tabs we're kind of going over. I'm like, I think it was about this and about that.
He's rattling all these things. He's like, something's going on with the Black Widow movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, you know what that means.
And we just kind of sit there and kind of like silently nod for a second. And James just looks at me and goes, there may not be a Nerd Radio this week.
Well, my cell phone broke, so I'm more worried about my cell phone than I am the Nerd Radio show. I just looked at Al and Al, there might not be a Nerd Radio.
And I agreed and we went home.
Well, I appreciate that you made the effort.
We're trying. We're trying to help you out and let you rest. And
that's fantastic. No, I was telling Al when I came in that I spent the last 2 days kind of in quarantine in my apartment, just laying on the couch, laying in bed, reading comics and watching movies and playing video games. And the irony was not lost on me that if were I in 100% perfect health, I would have done the exact same thing. There would have been no change to my day-to-day thing. I just I would have gone to work too instead of calling into work 1 or 2 days. I'm on the mend. Nerd Radio is here. We are having an episode.
We are having an episode. That's the title.
We are having an episode. So let's hit some stuff. Erica's going to come in. for the next segment we're going to talk about this past Saturday was
AEW stuff, dude.
All Elite Wrestling, Double or Nothing. Yeah. Did you get to see anything about it, James?
I did not.
But, the wrestling world has changed.
I know.
John Moxley!
Yeah, John
Moxley. Moxley surprise!
Dean Ambrose is now John Moxley. Not to mention the fact he was on Chris Jericho's podcast, Talk is Jericho. Mm-hmm. The episode just dropped last week. If you listen to the CM Punk episode of Colt Cabana's podcast, how he kind of took to task the WWE and some of the problems he had with it.
Dean Ambrose did the same thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I just read some highlights or titles of articles and stuff, just kind of detailing what he was talking about.
Yeah, so we're gonna tell you guys about that coming up here on the show. But let's talk about some stuff that's happening in the world of nerds. So
the happenings.
The happenings, right. Let's start with the comic book. So everybody knows that I'm a huge fan of Tom King's current run of Batman.
Yeah.
Al, you're very good. It's good to know now.
Yeah. So Al, you're currently reading it as well, I think?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I am not current with it, but I am reading it, yes.
Well, Tom King announced that he is going to be...
Exactly.
He was supposed to do 100 issues of this uh-huh. run, and then he was going to hand it off to somebody, and he announced last week that he is going to be leaving with issue 85 instead, which will be at the end of this year in December.
Okay.
That will be his last issue. After that, he is moving to a new 12-issue series that is Batman and Catwoman.
Okay.
And famously, this particular run of Batman has kind of revolved around Batman and Catwoman almost getting married.
Oh.
So we'll see. But
it's a thing they continually come back to.
Yes.
You know, it has been an ongoing story arc throughout, you know, his entire run.
Right. So those two, I don't know if they will get married at the end of his 85-issue run, but they will be getting back together for a 12-issue series. And in January, when that series starts, Batman will go back to being monthly.
Okay.
So there will be an issue of Batman, and then 2 weeks later, there will be an issue of Tom King's Batman and Catwoman. And they haven't said who's going to take over the Batman book, but Tom King will be putting out a monthly book that will alternate every other week.
I have a theory. So this 12-month run, or this 12-issue run with Batman and Catwoman... I forgot the joke I was going to make.
You got our attention, and then
Batman
it was gone.
Batman Bangfest. If it's called Batman Bangfest.
Bangfest?
They did not get married.
Oh,
sorry, guys.
It's too bad we already titled this episode, because that's also a great one. Nerd Radio. I forgot the joke I was going to make.
You forgot the punchline.
You guys have no idea how many times that happens to me on a daily basis. I think I got this money line I'm just going to deliver.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I'm like... forgot what I was going to say.
Darn it.
You know what? I do that all the time, too. But my problem is when I've got a really good joke, my speech becomes dyslexic. Mm-hmm. Like, I start, all the words come out
backwards.
All the right words come out, but in different orders.
In order that does not work.
I know what you mean. Sometimes I think I'm on the spectrum. Like, yeah. I have the words that I know I need to say, but I cannot put them in the right order to come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Just help me, please.
Yeah.
All right, the other comic book thing I wanted to cover is Marvel Comics announced through social media and at a convention that they're celebrating their 80th anniversary with Marvel Comics number 1,000.
Oh, for crying out loud. God damn it.
There actually hasn't been a Marvel comic, you know, book that has made it to issue 1,000, so it feels kind of cheap.
Yeah.
To make a Marvel Comics 1,000.
Oh, I mean, I've seen they've had 1,000, 1,000th issues before. I've seen there was a Wolverine 1,000 that I had. I think I have a copy of. I don't know, but.
But this is going to have a bunch of people working on it. Al Ewing, who's currently working on an Immortal Hulk, is going to be working on the bookend part of this. Yeah. It's probably going to be a $10 issue, much like the Detective 1,000 or the Action Comics 1,000 that DC put out last year.
Actual 1,000th issues?
Actual 1,000th issues. Yeah, but it's they've named a whole bunch of creators that are going to be a part of it. I don't have the list in front of me, but it is massive. Everybody's going to be doing one page. I don't know. It's going to have to be something super major. It's going to have to be something really cool to make me spend $10 on a 1,000th issue that's not actually the 1,000th issue of anything.
I'll say this, that everything that it's on my subscription list that I'm already collecting, I'll get that 1,000th issue.
Right.
But I'm not going to get anything extra. I don't really collect X-Men. I'm not going to get the X-Men 1,000 just to have it.
That's the thing. It's just Marvel Comics 1,000. That's it. They're not doing a Cap or an X-Men or anything
that.
Nope, just Marvel Comics 1,000. It's a one book.
I'm out. No,
it's one book.
I'm good. Don't need it.
Right.
Okay, well, at least they're doing... Still stupid.
Right.
That's how I really feel. Well,
Marvel makes me so upset.
Ever since Brian Michael Bendis moved from Marvel to DC, we've seen a lot of people that we've connected with him, like Kelly Sue DeConnick and Matt Fraction, a lot of writers... as well as a couple artists move as well over to the DC side of the fence. This is the first DC person I've seen hop the fence over to Marvel.
Oh, who is it?
Patrick Gleason, who's currently doing the art on Young Justice with Brian Michael Bendis,
okay.
Will be leaving DC like Comics to...
courtroom porn. Young
courtroom
Justice.
Porn, Young Justice.
They're barely legal. They know the law.
Right. He will be leaving DC to move to Marvel to starting with July's Amazing Spider-Man number 25.
Oh, okay.
So it's a book that affects you. You're going to get a new artist on there.
I will read that in 2023.
There you go.
right on time. Yeah. Right on schedule.
He was doing the writing and artist for Batman and Robin when it started under the New 52.
Oh.
So he's got a cool style. I'll be interested to see him.
Peter J. Tomasi or whatever his name is. I remember him writing that book.
Oh, maybe I got it wrong. Maybe he was just the artist on it then.
Could have been.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I just remember him writing Batman and Robin.
No, he's
maybe
got
that was before the New 52. I can't remember.
He's got a cool style, and I want to see him.
I'm not sure if that's how you say his last name, but Peter J. Tomasi. I like that guy.
Yeah.
He did the Red Lantern book that I liked a lot.
Sure.
At least for the beginning of it.
All right. Real quick, video game-wise, I wanted to bring up because... did you play the Ghostbusters game on the original, the Xbox 360 or the PlayStation 4, either of you guys?
I played it. Yeah, I played it like the first level, the library level.
Well, it's coming back.
Woo!
They're remastering Ghostbusters, the video game. And it's one of my favorite experiences on my Xbox 360.
Okay.
Because it has the original voice cast, all four Ghostbusters.
Oh, nice.
Winston, Peter, Egon, and Ray are all in it. It is Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis were involved in the creation of the script. So,
yeah, wasn't this repurposed, like the Ghostbusters number 3, wasn't this originally a script that was supposed to be a movie?
Yep.
And they just translated over
and made a game out of it.
Right?
This is a couple of years ago when the Answer the Call Ghostbusters came out. And people were like, I just want Ghostbusters 3. Mm-hmm. I always told people, like, did you play this game? Because that was Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
And it's coming back remastered for the PlayStation 4, the Xbox 360, and or the Xbox One, and the Switch.
Oh,
look at that.
So there you go.
That's going to be super fun. I'm going to buy Ghostbusters video game a second time.
Wish they'd do it on like VR. Dude, I would play would a Ghostbusters cool. VR game.
I feel like there was somebody worked on a Ghostbusters VR thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I seem to remember seeing a Ghostbusters something in VR.
Right.
I don't know if it was like one of those experiences or a game. I don't remember. But I saw something in the VR store.
I would play the crap out of that.
I don't know.
Well, that's all I got for you guys this week.
Oh, okay.
So,
get the F out of here!
Yeah, well, I know that...
we gotta talk wrestling.
I know that Erica's coming in. We're talking about wrestling. I know that Meltdown needs to get in here as quickly as possible.
That's right. There's actually a demand for the room
for sure.
Right away. So
we will reconvene next week for some more Nerd Radio. Thank you guys for sharing the room with me. I hope I'm not contagious.
Yes, I hope so too.
I assumed you weren't.
I hope you guys do all right. And I will... Erica's coming in. We'll talk more Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What?
This is Nerd Radio.
What?
Wow.
What?
Welcome back to Nerd Radio, wherever you're getting your podcast, part of the Peapod Studios Network. As I said in the top of the show, this is going to be kind of a peculiar episode of Nerd Radio because I don't know that it's going to be as long as most Nerd Radio episodes, but one of the reasons I definitely wanted to get an episode out this week is because of the events that happened this past weekend, and what I'm talking about is AEW's Double or Nothing. That's right. It's time for the Squared Circle Round Table. Erica is sitting in here with me. Welcome, Erica.
Sorry. Just very rushed, but I'm just, you know, I got a lot of hands in a lot of projects right now. I'm happy to be here with you talking about wrestling because there's a lot of crap to talk about.
Well, we were texting about it. You were one of the first people to text me on like Tuesday and be like, hey, are we doing an episode? Because I really want to talk about Double or Nothing.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, that would be fantastic. And then I came down with a little bit of illness. So I'm just getting in. It's a Thursday morning here, but I definitely... Tony Schiavone once historically said this will be the greatest night in the history of our sport.
Once said it? Adorable.
And I don't think that particular line could ever have been more apt than this past Saturday at AEW's Double or Nothing because it's a seismic shift not only for the way the wrestling the professional wrestling world is going to operate going forward. But it was a fantastic event, nonetheless.
All around fantastic event. I'm a very picky person, you know that, and I like to nitpick WWE. And in my writing about the event, you know, I did point out that early in the show there were a few like production miscues,
sure,
and whatnot. And I'm sure, once again, it's their first show. I'm not surprised that there were like a few like, oh, they shot the wrong entrance tunnel and the person was coming out of the right entrance tunnel instead of the left one.
Right.
And there was definitely a miscue with the timekeeper during the women's six woman tag match.
Sure.
So like that stuff happened. I want to get all the negative stuff out of the way, and to be fair, like point out some of the like the negative aspects, because look, I know I can easily be criticized as one of those fans.
Sure, you're definitely a fan that this particular style of wrestling speaks to much more than, let's say, me.
Correct.
There are definitely things about this show that by the end of it, I was definitely worn out by.
Which is fascinating to me, and we will totally get to that later.
Sure.
I will say, I hope they rethink the 3-man announcer team. If they don't, you know, it was their first show, and like, how can you really practice for something like that?
Right.
JR, once he kind of got going, like he sounded like the timber,
sure,
of his voice. He sounded fantastic, and once they kind of found their own lanes, you know, they righted the ship announcer-wise toward the end of the show. But there were some issues at the beginning. All in all, like, this is what wrestling needs. This is what the WWE needs,
sure,
more than anything. I have not watched Raw or SmackDown for weeks now because it's just not good.
Right.
You are wasting my time. The only way to really, you know, react and like protest is to not watch the program.
For sure.
Hopefully they will kind of figure out what they need to do. And after the Moxley podcast, they better figure out what they have to do.
Right.
Because he certainly took WWE and really Vince McMahon to task for the creative direction of the product.
Right. And we'll talk about the recent Chris Jericho Talk is Jericho podcast featuring John Moxley, formerly Dean Ambrose. But first, let's go back. Let's talk a little bit more about Double or Nothing. You want to talk about the commentary team. Could they move the teleprompter closer to the camera? Because Jim Ross was staring at the cameraman's feet for a lot of those three shots, the shot of the three people.
Right. You know, once again, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how they're going to situate where the commentary team is going to be when they have their weekly shows. Once again, it's their first show.
Right.
They're figuring it out.
Not to mention, what was the guy with the luchador mask? I can't remember.
Oh, that's Excalibur.
Excalibur. Can all commentary wear luchador masks? Because it's never occurred to me until I watched Jim Ross stare at the guy's feet that it's like, oh, he could be looking anywhere. Like,
it's
let's
true.
Let's just make everybody wear luchador masks so I have no idea where their eyes are.
Well, for, you know, I don't know if you know this, but for anyone who's listening who doesn't know this, Excalibur comes from PWG. And you know, obviously the Young Bucks have a storied history with PWG.
Sure.
And Excalibur was on the call at All In. Excalibur, Ian Riccaboni from Ring of Honor, and Don Callis. And then they would have like a rotating fourth on various matches.
Sure.
I think if they got it down to JR and Excalibur, that'd be perfect. Alex, not really feeling him as the, but then again, I've never been one for three person commentary. I think it's
table.
Too much. I think it's too many voices. I think if you have two, solid.
Right.
You're good to go.
I did definitely want to talk about this because Saturday night's Double or Nothing was full of nerds.
Oh, big ones.
The pre-show, which featured an amazing battle royal, which we'll get to in a minute, as well as a singles match between Kip Sabin and Sammy Guevara, ended when Sabin hit his finisher, which is called the Deathly Hallows.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think was, you nerd!
Well, here's the thing. Are you upset that, like, this should appeal to you? You're a nerd. Like a big one.
I say that with a smile on my face.
Okay.
For sure. The same as when Cody came out and he's dressed like friggin' Alucard from Castlevania. I'm like, oh, you nerd.
Yeah, well, Kenny Omega with his video game pants.
Yep, looking like a Final Fantasy character.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the nerds have taken over. And they're not just wrestlers anymore. They're actually in the front office,
right,
which is fascinating and very exciting.
Okay, so let's talk about the Casino Battle Royal, because that was how they kicked the night off. And there were a lot of people in there. And you're going to see, especially if you're somebody who listens to the show and you only watch, let's say, Raw and SmackDown, you, much like NXT, you're going to see a bunch of people who you are going to be meeting for the first time. And I think, especially with the Battle Royal, they did a fantastic job of acknowledging that you were meeting a lot of these guys for the first time. So let's give you the Cliff's Notes version of what you need to know about this dude.
Yeah, they had a lot. Like, I was at All In, as you know. So throughout the night, I was basically comparing everything to All In, which I attended. And I will say the All In Battle Royal was better, but I think it's just because it had bigger names. But this was, like you said, a great way to kind of introduce a lot of people to these new names that are going to be part of essentially the mid-card of AEW.
Right.
So you have guys like MJF, who is outstanding.
Yeah, fantastic heel work
might
on Saturday.
Be one of the best heels in all of wrestling.
Very punchable face.
The most punchable face might be. You have
what is MJF short for?
Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Okay. Very punchable name as well.
Yes. And an outstanding on the mic. Just a royal D-bag. Fantastic. Yep. You have Jungle Boy, a lot of us may know him. He's the son of the late Luke Perry, but he is this ripped, lean, wild hair. It's in the name, Jungle Boy.
He looks like Tarzan.
Just recently signed Luchasaurus.
I loved Luchasaurus.
Luchasaurus is badass.
That is for a dude. Okay, so his name is Luchasaurus. So you imagine he has a luchador style of wrestling, but he is like a 7 foot tall dude.
He is massive.
Wearing a mix between a luchador mask and like a prosthetic that makes him look like a dinosaur.
I know.
And that is fascinating and a lot of fun.
Fantastic.
A lot of fun. I was happy to see him go as far as he did in that Battle Royale, and I'm definitely interested in seeing more of Luchasaurus.
Yes. Jimmy Havoc was in the Battle Royal.
Very, very old school, kind of hardcore.
Yes.
He brought a staple gun to the ring.
Well, and then, speaking of staple guns, you have Joey Janela, who is also very much a I will jump off of anything, go through any sort of table. Joey Janela is a smoker, and he incorporates his smoking into like his gimmick and whatnot. And Jimmy Havoc stapled Joey Janela's lit cigarette to his forehead.
To his forehead, right.
That was... Yikes, that I felt that all over. People are crazy.
That's one of the ways that I think Double or Nothing really, really worked, is all throughout the night, they gave you a taste of a lot of different styles of wrestling.
Right.
A better taste than you get in a lot of other products, all of WWE's products included. Their products are very much, I don't want to say one style, but you literally get, like, the style you get on NXT is different than the style you get on Monday Night Raw.
Absolutely.
But you get that one style for that show kind of thing. They've definitely kind of put fencing around all the 205 guys and the NXT guys and that kind of thing. Whereas very, very smartly, All Elite Wrestling is going to try and pull from a lot of different styles and give you kind of that that three-ring circus feel that you got, let's say, back in the Attitude Era.
Right. We'd be remiss if we did not mention Hangman Adam Page, who won the Battle Royal.
Right.
In one of the stipulations of the Battle Royal, if you won, you would go on to face the winner of the Kenny Omega Chris Jericho match for the newly unveiled All Elite Wrestling World Championship title.
Now let's briefly talk about Adam Page, because leading into this event, up until about 4 or 5 days before the event, he was supposed to fight Pac, which is formerly Neville of WWE. Pac is currently the Dragon Gate. Is it the heavyweight champion?
I believe, it's the heavyweight champion. Either way, he's like their top guy.
Right.
I don't know if it's heavyweight or whatever. He's their main title holder.
And about a week before the event, he dropped out of the event. So it's one of those things. Every time I saw Adam Page that night, I thought, how far in advance was this booked? And how much of this was scrambling because now he's not going to have his match with Pac?
Possibly. No one really is quite positive what all happened.
Sure.
Like, it's all speculation. No one really knows.
Yeah, well, I think the easiest speculation to come across is that they've been talking forever that the wins and losses in All Elite Wrestling will absolutely matter.
Yes.
And he is Dragon Gate's top guy. Mm. So they didn't, you know, All Elite doesn't want Adam Page to lose in his, you know, first outing and the
True.
Thing. But also, Dragon Gate doesn't want their heavyweight guy to go and lose on one of the biggest events he's gonna be on,
yeah,
kind of thing. And you know what, I can't it's one of the I can't fault either party,
right? You know, I mean, it's unfortunate they ended up wrestling overseas, and that match is currently on, I believe, All Elite Wrestling's
on their YouTube.
Yeah, and it's an outstanding match.
Sure.
It's a shame, you know, it couldn't happen at Double or Nothing.
Right.
But at least it happened in some capacity.
And there are a lot of ways in the last 7 days that All Elite Wrestling, through social media and through YouTube and stuff like that, have definitely endeared themselves as a company.
Yeah.
To the wrestling fans.
Definitely.
Of the world. They even, you know, I think it was 24 hours before, like maybe Friday or Thursday before, there was the video Cody put out saying, thank you, fans, before we even hit the first match. Thank you guys for taking a chance on us. And then they had all the people that were going to be there on their cell phones, you know, taking short videos saying thank you. And I think that went a long way, at least personally, to, you know, humanizing all these people.
Well, it certainly can't hurt. I mean, they know what they're up against. I mean, you know, they're a brand new promotion.
Right.
In a very crowded field of wrestling promotions. Obviously, WWE is number one. But, I mean, there's indies galore nowadays.
Yeah.
So they are fighting for attention and eyes and viewers. So, you know, I mean, good for them for having the smarts of taking that PR route. I think before we even pontificate further, Kip Sabian and Sammy Guevara, they were the second match in the buy-in pre-show. And that was another great look at two very young talents that, once again, will help build the mid-card. And, man, Kip Sabian's badass. That guy's cool.
Yeah, see, after the Battle Royal, I kind of tuned out a little bit.
Okay.
I did want to bring up, there were two characters in that Battle Royal that immediately captured my attention that I definitely want to see what more of.
Glacier?
Glacier was not one of them.
Oh, come on.
Glacier was not one of them. One of them is the human sloth, Orange Cassidy.
Yes.
Which this dude, if you have not seen this dude, he moves very slowly and very just kind of eh. And he keeps his hands in his pockets. He hit the ring. I say he hit the ring. He rolled into the ring and gave Tommy Dreamer some of the most vicious kicks I've ever seen in a professional wrestling match.
He gave him what for?
He did.
Yes.
And it was hilarious and fascinating. And the other guy, whose name completely escapes me, he was one of the Japanese wrestlers, and he had baby oil.
Oh, Michael Nakazawa.
And he just covers himself in baby oil and then slips out of anything his opponents do.
Yes.
And that is hilarious.
Yes.
I don't know how long that's going to be hilarious for me, but it was hilarious.
Well, I think, you know, once again, Michael Nakazawa has been doing that for years now in DDT. And, you know, they're a promotion in Japan that kind of prides themselves on, like, nerdy comedic stuff.
Absolutely.
And you know, I think the creative direction of AEW is kind of smart enough to know not to go to the well too many times.
Yeah.
And utilize it when it is appropriate, because you don't want burnout.
Right.
Especially on something that is genuinely funny.
Right. For sure.
And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Orange Cassidy. I don't think he is an actual signee or he's under contract with AEW. You know, they had to fill a Battle Royal, and they had a convention, and a lot of wrestlers were in town. So I'm sure they probably just said, hey, man, you want to do this?
You want to be in the ring for 5 minutes and be on this big show?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that was the thing with both those characters. As fun and funny as they were, that is not a gimmick that gets you to a heavyweight title.
That's true.
So it's the kind of thing that, you know, like, I'm happy to see them, but I wonder, for the sake of their careers, how long Orange Cassidy can continue to run this gimmick, or how long this guy, like you said, that's been in DDT can continue to cover himself in baby oil. And
I mean, Orange Cassidy has been a thing for a few years now. So,
well, that's good. Once again, I'm being introduced to these people
right.
thanks to Double or Nothing. So if he's been doing this for a couple of years, then he already knows how to keep this fresh.
Yeah. And I think they're well aware that, like, this isn't something that I'm not going to get the heavyweight title with this.
Right.
But there is, I'm a firm believer in that there is a place in wrestling for weird comedy stuff like this. And once again, it's all about balance. So, you know, I hope they know how to balance it in AEW, and I think they do.
Okay. Well, let's take a short break.
Yes.
And we'll come back and we'll cover the rest of Double or Nothing. We'll talk about Jon Moxley, formerly Dean Ambrose, and Nerd Radio. We'll return right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
All right, let's talk some more wrestling here. Some more Squared Circle Roundtable for you on Nerd Radio, part of the B-Pod Studios Network. Erica,
yes,
we had a fantastic night of wrestling Saturday. I don't know about you. I went to a friend's house to watch Double or Nothing, but I watched the pre-show sold me. I watched the Battle Royal and then the Kip Sabian and Sammy Guevara. Like I said, I checked out a little bit. I was a little exhausted mentally. Also, I've been fighting through some illness all week. But by the time the free show was over, I text my friend who was getting Double or Nothing. I'm like, look, I know you told me I could come over. I'm starting to come down with something. I don't want to share my germs with everybody. But if I am still, you know, if you guys are willing to take that chance, I would like to see this event. And he's like, come on over, dude.
Well, that makes my heart full.
Right.
To know that, that it sold you.
Right.
And clearly, once again, and they've said this before, despite numerous callouts during the broadcast, this is an alternative to WWE. It
For
is
sure.
in no way trying to dethrone WWE. There is no way that is going to happen. They've got Murdoch money. They have Saudi royal family money.
Right.
They are not going anywhere.
Right. So I went over to my friend's house and I watched everything from Double or Nothing except Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega. That match started, and beforehand, every match had a 30-minute time limit. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Right.
I like time limits.
Yes.
One of my favorite things when Impact Wrestling started their TV show was every match had a 10-minute time limit.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. All right. But every 30-minute time limit match went to like 29 and 29 seconds. So when they said Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega had a 60-minute time limit and I got to be up and to work at 2 a.m.,
yeah.
I was like, you know what? I'll catch the highlights of this tomorrow, and went home. But let's quickly run down the card and you know, give people kind of what they expect. They opened the actual pay-per-view itself with Christopher Daniels, Scorpio Sky, and Kazarian, mm-hmm. three guys who have worked in almost every indie.
SCU.
Impact, Ring of Honor, just everywhere, against what's dubbed here on my run sheet as the hashtag Stronghearts. T-Hawk, not the Street Fighter character, the wrestler. Seema and El Lindemann. Great match. Six-man tag match. Lots of high spots in there. Ended with what they're calling the best Meltzer ever, which is Christopher Daniels doing the best moonsault ever, which he's been doing for decades.
And it is beautiful.
Right. I've always loved Frankie Kazarian because he looks a little bit like Antonio Banderas.
Okay. I can,
and yeah. I've always thought, like, that guy looks like money. That guy needs to be on the top of the card kind of thing. But a fun match. Definitely a independent wrestling style of match. Lots of false finishes, lots of very impactful, high-risk offense going on in this match. Next match, they went with a different style of match. They had what was supposed to be the triple threat with the girls,
mm-hmm.
which turned into a fatal four-way. Britt Baker, who is the girlfriend of Adam Cole.
Bay-bay.
And who is a dentist, fighting Kylie Rae, who is apparently All Elite Wrestling's version of Bayley.
Pretty much, yeah.
Versus Nyla Rose, who I thought looked fantastic, had a great ring gear, and all three of these girls, different body types, which is great.
Different body types, different wrestling styles,
yes.
Different personalities, and I feel like this match really, and we'll, you know, before we get to the surprise fourth person, it really set the table for what the women's division of All Elite Wrestling is going to be,
right.
And it basically said, like, it's not going to be an afterthought,
right.
Which is fantastic.
And then they, Brandy came out and announced that the fourth person in this match would be Awesome Kong.
Yeah.
Who WWE fans may know for the cup of coffee she was in there as Karma. That it was a fine match. It was a lot of fun. It, once again, different style, not as high flying, not as quick. However, I liked it. There was a ladies match later on in the night that definitely overshadowed this match to me.
Yeah.
Because the later on in the night, which I'll just skip ahead to, they got a bunch of what they call Joshi wrestlers, which is Japanese female wrestlers. There was a 6-woman tag in that match. Those ladies were not afraid to hit each other.
What I love about Joshis is they sometimes can be like the rail thinnest of women.
Yes.
And just brutal.
Just throwing themselves at each other.
And, you know, it's similar to a Kairi Sane, where you're like, look at you. You just
little
adorable.
Little tiny 4'3" Kairi Sane.
You're so
adorable.
Sweet. And then
right.
It's like, oh my God, she just did this. Like, yep. It, amazing.
Because there were a couple of spots during the 4-way match where a girl completely did not connect with another girl.
Yeah.
And that'll take you out. I don't care what product you're watching. That'll take you out of the match completely. So the next match featured Chuck Taylor and his best friend Trent. Was it Trent Seven?
No. That's
different.
Yeah, no. Trent Beretta. Trent Seven is the British strong style, burly, adorable man.
Right. Against Jack Evans and Angelico.
And Angelico.
Angelico, excuse me. And this is where I started to get a little wore out. I do love the video for the best friends, which they posted on.
What the hell is that?
No one knows what's going on.
It's
there.
So
there's,
great.
There's puppies, there's aliens, there's ghosts. Who knows? Who knows what the whole world is going on there? However, this match, much like the first match on the card, full of false finishes, high-flying, hard-hitting wrestling. And that's cool, except I hearken back to the first time I watched NXT when it was like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Neville were all in the match or something like that. And like, once I've seen a match with two guys and they've both done tope suicidas out of the ring, and then the next match has both guys doing tope suicidas out of the ring, like it's, okay, I've seen this. What else you got? Kind of thing.
Okay.
And for me, by the end of the night, by the time you got to the Young Bucks, who this match, very much the same style the Young Bucks were about to wrestle.
Yeah.
The 6-man tag at the beginning, very much the same style the Young Bucks. That's the tag team style they want to push with All Elite Wrestling. Cool. I get that. That's awesome. But every time by the 4th or 5th finish where that man should be dead.
Right.
And he kicks out at 2. What are you going
to
do?
Okay. Well, I mean, look, I think that this comes down to just a difference of taste.
Sure.
Perhaps Best Friends versus Angelico and Jack Evans could have been a little shorter. I thought the match went a little long.
Right.
Even though I do love Best Friends so much. I thought it was, I think it does just come down to a matter of taste. And maybe they could have change the card around a little bit, but at the same time, I feel like the entire night the card just had a constant rise. There was no like dip in the action. It just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
I would agree with that. Even with the problems that I had personally with taste wise as far as style.
Correct. And I will say, when it comes to the Young Bucks match with the Lucha Bros, if you weren't following BTE and like what's been going on Being the Elite, you know, the Young Bucks YouTube series with pretty much everyone that was on the show.
Sure.
You know, they were running like an angle, like, you know, they haven't been wrestling on the reg because they've been, you know, trying to get ready for this event and running a promotion.
Right.
So there was like this whole like ring rust gimmick.
Right.
And there were parts of the match where like there was clearly some disconnect with the Young Bucks, and that was hearkening back to Being the Elite. So if you weren't kind of aware of that storyline per se, maybe it was harder for you to kind of focus on little things going on in the match.
It's weird because it makes me feel like Jim Cornette. Like I said, I watched these series of the most impactful thing I have ever seen, followed by a 2 count, followed by them getting their win back so they can do the next most impactful thing I've ever seen, followed by a 2 count. And it's like, if you'd end the match, like the second time I saw the most impactful thing, you could have saved the other thing for a match down the road.
True.
And given it to me. Like, psychology wise, it wears me out.
Okay. I mean, once again, you know, I think that's where you and I differ for once.
Sure.
Which is, I mean, kind of groundbreaking for this show, because you and I pretty much see eye to eye on everything.
Right.
But I get it.
However, I don't want to be pooping all over the show, because after that match and then the six woman Joshi match was my match of the night.
Same.
Cody and Dustin Rhodes, and that definitely harkens back to a style you are more familiar with from watching a WWE product, because you have two guys who came up in that particular company.
Right. And I think what made it so impactful too is the fact that it followed so much high flying.
Sure.
That, you know, in a way it was like a palate cleanser.
Absolutely.
If you will. And just
if the WWE style was the only style you saw for 3 hours, then it gets dull.
Yes.
In the same way that if all I see is this tag team wrestling Young Bucks style for 3 hours, like, I don't, what else you got, man?
Right.
But once again, I think they did a real good job with the card itself, trying to separate the different styles and give you something a little bit different match after match after match.
Something that bears mentioning before the Cody and Dustin Rhodes match, there was the chair and the sledgehammer.
Sure. There was a version of like Triple H's throne, and
yes.
And Cody took a sledgehammer to it, and there was a little bit of pyro that went with it, and it was a statement. Not so much against the WWE, which I think a lot of people took it as, but it was a statement with the promo that he'd given ahead of time, saying that he's looking to kill the Attitude Era by, you know, killing his brother.
Yes.
In a wrestling sense.
And also, and because a lot of people were kind of losing their minds, wrestling Twitter has been interesting the past week.
Absolutely.
To say the least. And a lot of people are, you know, a lot of pro WWE people are, you know how it can get.
Sure.
But people were losing their mind over this in a negative fashion. Keep in mind, Triple H called them a pissant promotion during the WWE Hall of Fame ceremony.
Right.
So who fired the first shot?
Sure.
So calm down, everyone. This is why we like wrestling. We want more of this.
Right. And it was a fantastic match. It definitely harkened back to an Attitude Era style of time, because Dustin Rhodes, formerly Goldust, bled all over that arena.
It was everywhere. I was genuinely concerned. I'm like, can we end this match just so the man can get some medical attention?
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting, being older than I was back when this stuff was commonplace,
yeah,
to watch something like that and be genuinely concerned for the performer instead,
right,
of like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Look at all the blood.
I mean, it was all over Cody. It was all over Earl Hebner.
Yeah.
Who was reffing the match.
Right.
Ooh, thank goodness they changed the mat.
I was going to say, I made a joke afterwards, because the next thing out was Bret Hart with the AEW belt, and they had like a red carpet out there. I was like, I know Dustin bled all over that ring, but I didn't realize he got the entire ring red. Jesus.
Yeah. And
a surprise to see Bret Hart.
Well, I mean, I would love to know if they paid Bret. I know Bret took to social media afterwards and said like Cody had called him personally and asked him to do this, and Bret said he was honored to do so.
I think they just let him know there'd be enough security. No one was going to jump the rail and tackle him.
But also, as part of the unveiling of the belt, they Hangman Page came out, MJF,
sure,
came out and did that outstanding promo, which you could tell, like, Bret was smirking.
MJF was doing his best heel work, and Bret was the most entertained person in that arena.
He was having the most fun.
Yep.
But then, you know, Jungle Boy came out, and Jimmy Havoc, and not Joey Janela. He wasn't out either. But, like, those three guys, Hangman Page, Havoc,
right,
and Jungle Boy, kind of just took MJF to task. Outstanding break after a really dramatic match.
For sure. For sure. Then you had the Young Bucks retaining the AAA tag team titles over the Lucha Brothers, which, once again, I've not seen a bad Young Bucks match. However, this late in the card, I'm exhausted.
That's true. Very true. What have you seen of Jericho and Omega?
I saw their match in New Japan.
Okay.
And while it was good, New Japan's style of wrestling isn't necessarily a style that I love, because they take so much time to tell a story, and I definitely have the kind of attention span that, like, I want WWE to go back to 5-minute matches.
Really?
I don't want matches that go multiple segments. If you've got a match that goes multiple segments, put it on pay-per-view.
Okay.
In my weekly show, you have such a deep roster of people that we never see in a 3-hour show every week. Friggin' give everybody one segment to get their match in and out, man.
Fair enough.
But Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, I did watch afterwards, because, of course, the big news was, once the match was over, through the crowd, John Moxley, formerly Dean Ambrose.
The reaction of the crowd, the rippling of like people freaking out, and then everyone going like, what the hell's going on? Oh my God.
Right.
And then, okay, so JR said that he did not know Moxley was going to show up.
Right.
Do you believe JR?
I don't know that I've, it's wrestling, man. It's a very kind of carnival atmosphere. So like, I don't know. I don't know who's working who at this point, and I don't care.
And neither do I. And I will say, JR's call, fantastic.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
The perfect compliment to the moment itself. What an amazing way to go out of the pay-per-view with that. And then Moxley going after Kenny Omega, which
and
those...
then brawling instead of him just like taking him out like he did with Chris Jericho and the ref.
Right.
You know, which leads you to believe that, okay, Kenny Omega. That was the thing, too, is that like everyone except Kenny Omega that essentially runs the company won a match.
Someone had to lose.
I agree. But after like when the Young Bucks won, I started to get a Jeff Jarrett taste in my mouth.
I was surprised that the Young Bucks won, but maybe the AAA belts, maybe the Lucha Bros will eventually win those back.
I'm sure.
And they may want to do that in Mexico.
Right. I think with All Elite Wrestling, we're going to see a lot more interplay with all the other promotions, mm-hmm. as long as everyone can be treated fairly.
Right.
Then we will, when you know somebody inevitably goes to NXT or WWE, they're cut off from every other form of, you know, wrestling.
Right.
But let's talk about John Moxley. Actually, you want to take a break real quick?
Yeah, hot second.
All right, let's take a break. I need to get a little water in my throat here, and then we'll talk about John Moxley being on Chris Jericho's podcast. You're going to be listening to a podcast next about a podcast. It's very meta. We're coming back. It's Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's Wednesday night. Time for Nerd Radio.
We're back with the final segment of our Squared Circle Roundtable, this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcast, and of course, part of the B-Pod Studios Network and on social media at Nerd Radio 101. Erica, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on this show. You pretty much dominated this particular show, which I'm okay with, because as you guys at home can tell, I'm going through a little bit of throat, head cold sickness, so I'm more than happy to let everybody else talk this week.
Well, and I am happy to help. And I'm happy that you are allowing me a platform to talk about all of this because, I mean, what a week. What a week for wrestling fans. This has been outstanding.
It's short of a WrestleMania week, this is the biggest week of the year
for
pro wrestling. And part of that is an episode of Talk is Jericho, Chris Jericho, Y2J's podcast, which just came out about 24 hours ago, featuring John Moxley, formerly Dean Ambrose, essentially taking WWE creative to task. Now, this is the kind of podcast, much like CM Punk had with, what's his
name? Colt Cabana.
Colt Cabana, thank you very much. However, I feel like, in a way, it's smarter. It's much more... Dean Ambrose is very obviously burning bridges, but he says right up front that he has nothing but gratitude for his time in World Wrestling Entertainment. It's helped him to afford what he can in his life right now and helped him to be the person that he is right now, which is fantastic. That being said, there are some stories in here. And anything, if you Erica said that you have not been watching Raw or SmackDown in quite a few weeks because it's just not doing it for you.
Yeah.
If you have been watching Raw or SmackDown the last couple of weeks, which I have, and you've been wondering, why is this terrible? You pretty much got your answers.
Like, okay, so a report came out before this podcast anyway. We touched on it a few weeks ago on Nerd Radio, where more or less the creative department is writing for an audience of one. They are writing for Vince McMahon. And if Vince doesn't like it, it doesn't make it to air.
Right.
So that's why things seem to be, like, Vince is basically writing the shows.
Yeah.
He's writing
the shows for himself.
Yes. And what the John Moxley podcast with on Talk is Jericho has done is basically confirm everything that we have already heard.
Right. Like, and actually, I find this more fascinating than that initial report. Because that initial report was like friend of three writers. And yes. They bitched to someone. So like, and it's he's calling into a talk show. So once again, it's one of those things like, how, I don't know.
Correct.
How, this isn't really from the horse's mouth. This is from the horse's mouth.
Nay, mofo.
These stories are directly from somebody who has dealt with this.
And fascinating. Like, if you haven't had a chance to go and listen to the episode, for the love of God.
Right. Finish our episode first and then go listen to it.
Please listen to us more, but like, listen to the interview in its entirety, because there's just so much there. But I pulled a few of my favorite quotes, which all of them kind of boil down to just how frustrated John Moxley, I feel weird, I'm like, John, whatever, was for years with WWE. And here we go. Here's just a brief sample of my favorite things. So whenever he's had a problem with any of his promos, he always had to go back to the writer's room and kind of renegotiate stuff. And apparently there was a line in a promo using the term pooper scooper,
right,
that he took issue with because he thought it was stupid, and rightfully so. So he's talking about going back and forth, just exhausted the entire day before even having to go out and wrestle. John Moxley says, "Now I go back into the writer's room. This is getting to be an exhausting day. And if you're having trouble following this, imagine what it was like for me. So I go back into the writer's room and success. We got our version of the promo in before the pooper scooper line. And also keep in mind during this is a billion-dollar company run by a man who's allegedly a genius. And keep in mind, we're all adults and we're talking about stuff like this." Now, for anyone, you know, I can't speak for everyone, but myself, like, there has definitely been juvenile humor as of late.
Sure.
Where it's just like, this is so stupid. Who is writing this? Vince McMahon is writing this.
Right.
Vince McMahon thinks some of the humor that's been going on, Drake Maverick, peeing his
himself,
pants,
right.
Hilarious.
Right, and that's the part of that story. I remember Dean Ambrose saying, I listened to the podcast last night, actually, as I was falling asleep, but I remember him saying that, like, we got to get the pooper scooper line out of there before Vince sees it.
Yeah.
Because if he sees it, he's going to love it.
Yeah.
So we need to get it out of there before he even lays eyes on the thing.
Yeah, and, you know, he continues, when he told them that, "I'm done. I'm not signing a new contract." He talked about just the struggle that he had with between he and Vince. He goes, "They want to control the narrative. That's the thing Vince hated about this whole situation, why it was so bizarre and there were so many ups and downs, because he has no control. Because I told him, I don't care how many zeros you want to put on a piece of paper, I am gone." And he just got, he's got the million-dollar man complex. He has to be able to buy everything. That's why he pays Brock millions of dollars to come in and ruin his company, which I laughed my ass off as soon as I heard that line.
Sure.
Because he wants to own Brock. He wants to be like, Brock's my attraction. A guy he has no power over, me, he didn't know how to handle it. Which kind of, once again, confirms everything we've suspected about Vince McMahon.
Sure.
But finally heard from, like, an employee.
I would love to hear more about Dean Ambrose program with Brock Lesnar, because we heard a little bit about it. Ooh. When he did the Steve Austin thing on the network.
Right.
You know, some of that slipped through about how Brock didn't want to do any of the fun stuff that they had led up to once they got to that WrestleMania. And Dean was just like, all right, whatever. And I would love to hear more of that story, because I feel like there is more there.
I'm sure there is more there. And I'm sure he shouted out Brock the way he did, probably because he was resentful towards him.
Yeah.
Because I think, because that was a WrestleMania match, wasn't
it?
It
was.
And I think that was a match that we were all very much looking forward to.
We were extremely excited for and did not deliver, because it was a typical Brock Lesnar match. Brock just throwing a guy around the ring for 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah. It was not exciting. He talks about, going to AEW and being, you know, a difference maker and actually, like, be mattering to the company.
Right.
Let's see. One thing that I want to do, because like if I have something to prove, it's that I want to prove that your creative process, the WWE's creative process, sucks. It does not work. It's absolutely terrible. And I've said that to Vince. I've said that to Hunter. I've said that to Michael Hayes. I think that I can't even tell you how their system works. It's some kind of system of meetings that take place in Stamford with the home team. It's writers and producers and production meetings, and nobody knows what's approved and what's not. And like the bureaucratic red tape you have to go through to get anything approved is just crazy. It doesn't work. It's killing the company. I think Vince is the problem, and not so much Vince, but Vince and whatever the structure that he built around himself, probably I'd imagine like 2002 after the sale of WCW. And he started building this infrastructure around himself, this team of writers and whatever and producers and however he does it. And this is how WWE is. And this is what the product is. The product sucks. Great talent, amazing talent. None of this is their fault. So I'm hoping if I have a goal with WWE or with AEW, it's that we prove that Vince's way sucks.
Right.
So
that's a direct quote from
that is a literal
formerly Dean Ambrose and John Moxley. And it that's one of the things about like I remember when Cody had left.
Mm.
And he had just gotten done being Stardust. And I was disheartened to find out that he hated being Stardust.
Yeah.
Because I thought Stardust was a lot of fun.
He was a lot of fun. I mean, he clearly, you know, he took what he was given and made the most of it.
Right. And that's, you hear a lot of that in this. Dean cites quite a few of the last things that happened in the last couple of months, like his heel turn against Seth Rollins and how a lot of that was him making the most of really terrible creative. And him talking about not liking being like a prop guy or like the comedy, the funny, crazy guy. And like, there was a lot of that I really enjoyed, man. Mitch the Plant. And
well, Mitch the Plant happened years ago because that was all part of his program with Jericho.
Right. And but part of this podcast is him talking about the fact that like, even then he was like, I don't want to be this guy.
Yeah.
I want to branch out. I want to be more as a wrestler, and them going like, no, this Vince very often would tell him, no, it's so you.
Yeah, it's so you. And the funny thing is, and probably one of the other fascinating things he mentioned on the podcast, he said, you know, when the Shield disbanded, you know, when Seth hit, you right. know, run with the chair, blah, 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 you know, he didn't think that anyone thought he could get over.
Sure.
He's like, I could have petered out and just gone away and nobody would have cared, but he got over with the fans. And he suspected that took everyone by surprise.
Sure. And that's that kind of leads into, you know, how I wanted to wrap up is the other thing that I very that I took away from listening to him talk about how creative works nowadays is how much the guys that you're seeing on screen, the guys and ladies that you're seeing on screen are doing the best with what they are handed.
Yeah.
So if you are a fan of Becky Lynch, if you are a fan of Seth Rollins or Finn Balor or something like that, it's not their fault.
Right.
They're trying their hardest to make sure that they are giving us a product that they are proud of and that, you know, that is their best versions of themselves. And they're just being handed some real garbage. So in your opinion, like as a fan, what do we do?
You don't watch.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's the only way that it is going to get anything done. You tank their ratings.
Yeah.
You tank their ratings. You tank their ratings to the point where Fox, who just gave them $5 billion to have SmackDown come to their network, have them go, what were we thinking? And have them freak out. And, you know, when you give somebody $5 billion, you kind of have the right to be like, excuse me, we have a say of what's going on. And, you know, something has to change. It's not working.
Right. I don't know. You're right in that, you know, you kind of vote with your dollar at the same time. But, you know, I always told, you know, I want Becky Lynch to have a job. I want Finn Balor to have a job.
Once again, WWE isn't going anywhere.
Sure.
But it can change and it's going to have to.
Yeah. And that's unfortunately this past week, there was no change whatsoever. If anything, it was definitely more of the same in an effort to try and make it like, well, what happened on Saturday doesn't matter. However, if you're listening to this and you think it doesn't matter, what AEW pulled off this Saturday, you got an interesting year ahead of you.
Yeah.
You're grossly mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
thank you so much for coming in, Erica.
Thank you for having me.
I love talking wrestling with you. I am definitely going to watch NXT this weekend.
Oh, absolutely.
That is going to be fantastic.
It's going to be a great show.
And I hope that you guys will return and listen to more Nerd Radio. If you have comments, questions, you want to tell us that we're wrong about something, or you want to tell us, yeah, I love the show, always hit us up on our social media at Nerd Radio 101. Hit up iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a review. Even if you hated it, give us a 1-star rating and tell people why you think our show sucks.
Yeah, tell us so we can be better. So
exactly.
We can make a better product for you, because we want to listen to people unlike other
entities. Yeah, we're just gonna put our nose down and go forward like some people.
Yeah.
Just because we like what we're doing, we're making a show for ourselves. No, we're making a show for you guys.
Yep.
We like sitting here and talking about stuff, and we want to talk about it in a way that you guys want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to Nerd Radio. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend.
Golden Radio.
I know.
See you later,
nerds.
Hey, we're out.
How do you feel about it?
That's fine.
Okay.
And then so doing the kissing the babies and the shaking the hands.
Yeah.
And then I got
pulled
into
it. At least you remembered to do it in the right order.
Yes.
When you start shaking babies, then
yeah,
people get
that's
real
bad.
Upset.
Yeah, the infants especially hate that.
Yeah, for sure. Some
it's
of them
bad
giggle.
For their health.
They giggle at first.
Yeah, well, then once they realize, oh, this is not a joyful
yeah.
jiggle.
Right, for sure.
A shaking of a baby.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.